That famous map of red and blue states makes this nation look deeply divided, but as voters know, many politicians manage to cross that divide. Earlier this month on Morning Edition, we met Governor Mark Warner, a Democrat who won office in the mostly Republican state of Virginia. Next, we're going to Minnesota. It's a traditional Democratic stronghold, but it's been deeply divided in recent years. NPR's Juan Williams reports on the Republican governor, Tim Pawlenty.
Minnesota has a long tradition of voting for Democratic presidential candidates. It last voted for a Republican in 1972. But in the last two presidential races, the state has shifted from solidly blue to a battleground state with red hues that John Kerry narrowly won. The state's evolution pleases Minnesota's Republican governor, Tim Pawlenty.
This used to be 20, 30 years ago, the land of Humphrey and Mondale and McCarthy, and a very liberal state. And I'm not here to say that Minnesota has become a conservative Republican state. All I'm saying is it's become a competitive or more mainstream state. I think it's good that we have something approaching political equilibrium so that candidates are forced to go out and compete for votes and find common ground, and I think it's a healthy thing.
Pawlenty has been described by a friend in an oft-repeated quote as the man who is trying to make Minnesota's GOP less the party of the country club and more the party of Sam's Club. The young governor's dream is to create a populist image for the party, appealing to voters who gave a 1998 gubernatorial victory to independent Jesse Ventura. Larry Jacobs is a political science professor at the University of Minnesota.
The Republican Party has done fantastically well in the South, of course, and in large parts of the West. The issue is, can the Republican Party broaden its base of support to the more moderate areas of the northern part of the country? Tim Pawlenty is showing that it is possible.
But since he was elected in 2002, Governor Pawlenty has found the middle ground to be slippery. He had a strong 30-vote Republican majority in the state House when he came into office and tried to force his budget proposals for dealing with the state's deficit through the legislature. But he failed to win support from Democrats and even some Republicans. Voters then ousted 14 House Republicans, nearly 20% of all Republicans in the state House. Governor Pawlenty.
Exit polls and others indicated that voters were frustrated that the legislature last year didn't get enough progress done. And the people who are here are saying, wow, we better get things moving.
So the governor is spending time meeting with Democrats.
Good to see you again. Yeah, we met last year.
Pawlenty is now trying to build bipartisan relationships in the hope of finding political compromise. In this case, meeting with Steve Kelly, chairman of the state Senate's Education Committee.
Every school I go to knows that if your budget is adopted, they're going to be cutting teachers and programs.
The cross-party meetings are a new development. Minnesota Democrats contend that the governor's fiercely partisan style in his first 2 years in office led to the current political gridlock. Mike Hatch of the Democrat Farmer Labor Party, the formal name for Democrats in the state, is the attorney general. He's considering challenging the governor in 2006 and blames Pawlenty for much of the state's political paralysis.
We're more polarized today than we've ever been. The last legislative session was so divisive. It's kind of like the mating dance of the Goonie Birds. You know, they kind of look at each other and they walk around for about 3 months before anything gets done.
Education is a motherhood and apple pie issue in Minnesota, a state with a long tradition of providing quality schools. A recent poll found statewide concern over it at the highest level in 20 years. But the governor's pledge not to raise taxes, despite a state budget deficit, has limited his ability to increase funding for schools and limited his appeal to the political center. The governor argues that Minnesota is already a high-tax state. Larry Jacobs is a professor of political science at the University of Minnesota.
Now the question is, how do you come up with the revenues to pay for what Minnesotans agree are important things? And that's where we've had the breakdown. The governor is firmly on board that he will not raise state taxes. The Democrats come back and say, well, that may be so, but what's happening is you are indirectly forcing up property taxes in the local level. We're having deadlock over taxes, the big T word.
The conservative Pawlenty wants to improve schools with more testing and higher standards for student advancement, in line with President Bush's No Child Left Behind plan. In addition to his pledge not to raise taxes, the governor is also an opponent of abortion and signed a bill to make it easier to get a gun permit. But there is a more moderate side to Pawlenty. He has challenged his own party by becoming an advocate for allowing prescription drugs to be re-imported from neighboring Canada at lower prices, a position at odds with President Bush. The easygoing governor's attempt at finding the political middle has led Democrats to call him a Boy Scout with a switchblade.
Good morning, everybody. We're here today to talk about an important health care issue.
At a recent press conference, the governor was again seeking the common ground. Wearing a sports jacket and no tie, he accused tobacco companies of trying to hook teenagers with new cigarettes that come in candy flavors and proposed to ban them in Minnesota.
This is a practice that is very troubling and it needs to be stopped, and we're going to start that effort in Minnesota.
The governor's approval rating remains strong at 56% in a poll taken this month. On a recent trip up north to Walker, Minnesota, the 44-year-old governor, who still makes news with his pickup hockey games, jumped into an icy lake. He was holding hands with a local Native American leader, surrounded by county residents. One reason for his visit is that the governor wants to begin a partnership with northern tribes that will allow them to open a joint state-tribal-run casino in the Minneapolis area. It's a controversial effort to find new revenue for the state budget. He's even thinking about allowing the sale of re-imported prescription drugs on Indian land.
Nice to meet you.
But even at the icy edge of a frozen lake, the governor felt the heat to deal with growing concern about schools, the political common ground. Pam Sutton, who came out to see the governor, is from Park Rapids.
The schools up here are hurting bad. The state keeps cutting the funds back. It's just kind of a vicious cycle, and we need to find a way to end it, even if it involves cutting some other programs or hiking taxes a little bit, just to keep the schools going.
As he prepares to run for re-election, Pawlenty does not want to be open to accusations of hurting public education, and he doesn't want to be weighed down with failure to pass a budget. Political scientist Larry Jacobs.
Tim Pawlenty has now got to get into the business of building coalitions. He's got to get legislation through so that he can run for re-election on a positive record of accomplishment.
Seeing that hardball politics led to defeat for fellow Republicans after his first 2 years in office, the governor is now downplaying partisanship. His political future now depends on controlling issues such as education, the common ground in the slippery land of frozen lakes, Minnesota politics. Juan Williams, NPR News.